minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Angel, we're going to get right to the good, the bad, the ugly today, because this is kind of, you know, fairly breaking news that we'll get to in the ugly, but let's get to it. The good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Hey, the good, we're all watching. This is great for baseball. With New York Yankees stud Aaron Judge hitting his 61st home run of the season. Now tying the record. Is he going to get it, Angel? I mean, the game before that, was it like two games before that? He was getting walked the whole time. So you got to worry about that. Don't walk the dude, man.
And the 3-2. Throw deep to left field. This could be it. See ya. He's done it. Number 61. He's been chasing history, and now he makes it. He and Roger Maris are tied with 61 home runs, the most anybody has ever hit in a single season in American League history.
That's cool, man. I know we, you know, it's a gray area on Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa's stuff, but you got to admit, agree with them, disagree with them, whatever, or Major League Baseball's decision, that was some of the best times watching baseball, was that home run race. Whether it's two guys, whether it's one guy, this is great for baseball. Aaron Judge, he's going to get paid, dude. I mean, Gio Maris, it took him the final game of the 1961 season to hit his 61st. It's crazy, right? All right, the bad, it's preseason, Angel. Is there a reason to be kind of concerned when you lose 7-1? The Colorado Avalanche lost last night to the Las Vegas Golden Knights 7-1. Their new goalie, Georgiev, gave up, you know, the chunk of those goals. So is that a concern at all, or is it just preseason? Yeah, honestly, it's just bad because of the score, but it's not a concern. You're the Stanley Cup champs. I ain't concerned. Not until we get into the regular season. All right, man. This is the big one. Air Force under NCAA investigation for recruiting violations during COVID-19 dead period. You heard that right. Air Force. According to Brett McMurphy of ActionNetwork.com, four former Air Force assistants, including newly hired Wisconsin linebackers coach Bill Sheridan, violated NCAA rules at Air Force by providing impermissible benefits and hosting high school prospects during the COVID-19 dead period in 2020. Sources told Action Network. Air Force has completed its internal investigation into the recruiting violations and is awaiting the NCAA's ruling on the penalties. NCAA doesn't comment on ongoing investigations. Sheridan resigned as Wisconsin's inside linebacker coach on Monday. Wow, dude. Air Force is doing this? Now, where did I read this? Troy Calhoun, head coach for Air Force, was apparently not aware of any of the violations. He said, a source told Action Network, whoever was involved made it clear, don't tell Troy Calhoun about this. There were intentional violations. These were intentional. They knew it was a dead period. Well, if you're going to cheat, why cheat and not tell your coach about it? Like, why go on your own to try to make your situation better? Because you're only going to make his situation better. That's strange to me.
And maybe it's CYA.
Yeah.
Maybe if the coach doesn't know about it, he might not get in trouble.
And maybe Troy, again,
it gives him deniability.
Right.
If he doesn't know what's going on.
But did he give a green light?
Right.
Did he give a green light at some point that was more of a vague, you know, hey, you do what you got to do. Just tighten it up. And I'm not accusing Troy Calhoun of that at all. It's just disappointing, Angel, because, you know, we know schools do stuff. We hear it all the time. But you didn't really expect Air Force. You didn't expect Air Force to be on this thing. Especially, you know, and again, this was supposed to be a great season for Air Force. They've been really good this year. So what's going on? You said something like you saw a report maybe. Are they going to be on a probation then for 2 years?
So Brett McMurphy, the guy you just read from Action Network, Air Force receives 2 years probation from NCAA, and four individuals reached agreement with the enforcement staff on recruiting violations that occurred within the football program during COVID-19 dead period. So 2 years probation.
So they can't go to a bowl game? Is that what that means?
Bowl games, recruiting, scholarships.
Wow. Boy. Fair. I mean, you know the rules. What are we doing here? Why are we still, like, you're going to get caught, I think, right? I mean, odds are you're going to get caught. More and more teams, every year we have some story about illegal recruiting or some kind of scandal going on. You're going to get found out. So what are we doing here? It's just that competitive of an organization that we have to cheat? This is a terrible look. Terrible for the Mountain West.
True.
You know, I mean, we're talking about all these things like, you know, can the Mountain West Conference put their best foot forward and maybe they absorb some teams if this, you know, if the Pac-12 breaks up? And I don't really know where we are now with the expansion of the playoffs. It does seem kind of like that's all going to die down a little bit. But this was supposed to be a big year for Mountain West with Fresno State, Air Force, and Boise State leading this thing. It's been a terrible week, dude. You have this story, obviously. Hank Bachmeier, the Boise State quarterback that feels like he's been there for 30 years, he's leaving the program. And then, you know, Jake Haener got hurt over the weekend, or was that last weekend? And I don't know what the status is of him right now. I haven't looked at it, but just a terrible week for the Mountain West Conference. And now you add this Air Force story. Mind-blowing, man. So what? Basically, just these coaches, these four former assistant coaches, just talk to guys during the dead period when they shouldn't be talking to them. Hooked them up with some swag and stuff. You're gonna get caught. You're gonna get found out. It sure seems like it. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. That is a bummer of a story. Kevin Lytle will join me today. We're going to talk about CSU later on in the program. Jay Norvell transfers all this. Clay Millen, how's he doing? What's Kevin's thoughts there? Well, I'm sure he's on top of this Air Force story as well. So we'll be sure to talk to him about that. Got my Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Are you a fan of Russell Wilson's cheesy style? I wanted to ask it forever, but now it feels like it's coming to a head. You know, Eli Manning's poking fun. What was it? Bleacher Report did something crazy too, Angel. Did you see this? They're like a cartoon.
Oh, Gridiron Heights.
Yeah. What is that?
So it's basically a weekly cartoon that Bleacher Report puts together. Usually comes out the Wednesday of the NFL week after all the games have played, and they make fun of things going on in the league. They'll make fun of players, games, coaches, all kinds of stuff. It's a fun little cartoon that they do.
I think I've seen a couple of those.
I've watched all of them.
Didn't they do one about Teddy Bridgewater when he was coming
like
out?
Yes, like a private investigator.
Yes, and he was coming back from injury. And he's like, the world has changed since I've been injured. And then he reads the headlines and it's like the Browns are bad. And he's like, yeah, but at least some things never change. That guy, those were good. So is it bad? Have you seen this new one?
I saw it. I watched it once. I think it was, it's centered around Russell Wilson and him cooking. There's, you know, a little clip of him with Pete Carroll in the kitchen. And then there's one with him and Hackett in the kitchen. And all the everything's bubbling over. The receivers are trying to figure out stuff. Javonte's off cooking something. And then Hackett comes in. He's like, no, guys, we're going to do great. We're going to do great things. We're all doing great. Yeah. It's goofy stuff.
Why is Russell Wilson getting attacked like this so much? I mean, it's not like he changed suddenly. He's been doing this stuff with Seattle. Why? Is it just because of the start to this offense? Or would we be doing it if he was good?
I think it's probably a mixture of both, and also Denver's just a bigger football market, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And you just his trade to Denver was just a big move outside of, you know, wide receivers and such. So, like, yeah, you're going to get more attention, new coach, new, you know, owners, new feel, new season, and there's so much hype around can Russell Wilson make the Broncos a successful football team.
Mm.
But all that is included with his cheesiness, his corniness, his happy-go-lucky self all the time.
Then you don't like it.
I'm not a huge fan of it.
I mean, you hear Tanner, and it's like Russell Wilson's the worst person ever. And it's just like, he's hated the sandwich ad. Listen, it's not going to win an award for best commercial of the year, but he's a good dude.
I'm not saying he's a bad dude. It's just like, I watch a press conference of Russell, and the entire time, he's just smiling.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're not frustrated with anything?
No.
You're 2-1, your offense hasn't been great, and you're just, we're doing good, guys. Have a sandwich.
Is it too much, then? Like, the positivity is going to eat away at these guys over time? Because, you saw the video of defense, yo, runner pass. He's saying all these things, it's always positive, happy. Is it too much? So we have 60% of the hooligans saying, yes, they're a fan of Russell Wilson's cheesy style. 60%. That seems about right. I mean, if you win, it all goes away. It doesn't matter. That's the thing. If Denver can find a way to go, you're 2-1. People are acting like this team's 0-3. It's crazy to me. You've played some bad football, but you're still 2-1. You have a winning record going into Las Vegas. This is where we thought they would be, sitting at 2-1 at this stage. Because I had them beating Seattle, and I had them losing to San Francisco. So I this is where we thought they'd be. Lonster was on the First Advantage Hotline. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
I'm doing good, too.
Good.
Boy, what a news about Air Force football.
That's right.
I mean, it's like, just when we think we're going to have a good team for a change, someone's going to have a good team around here, pump the brakes a little bit.
Yep. Now it's all on the UNC Bears, because Air Force was our Colorado team that was kind of carrying the torch for us because CSU and CU are so bad. But, now Air Force is, is effective this year, right, Angel? Like, they can't be in a bowl game now, so... Angel's going to find that out. But yeah, absolutely nuts, man.
Really? Wow. Tell you what, nothing's safe anymore.
No, it's not. It's not. And I'm sure more is going to come out. And right now, it's reported that Calhoun, the sources did say that Calhoun didn't know anything about this. And I have no reason to believe that or not believe it, I suppose. But we're going to be digging into this. And I'm sure more is going to come out from it.
Yeah, I think so. I think the fan's going to hit the ceiling on these guys a little bit.
Are you a fan of Russell Wilson's cheesy style?
You know what? I don't mind it. I mean, it's one of those where you just kind of either take it with a grain of salt or just let it go.
Yeah. Well, 60% say, yeah, they are. They're a fan of it. Lonster, appreciate the call, my man.
Hey, for sure.
All right, 18 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. We got to take a quick break here. We're going to start looking at Broncos Raiders week. Josh McDaniels has a closed-door meeting with Mark Davis. What does that mean? It probably just means, dude, we got to be better. Let's meet. I don't think it's a big deal. Let me read some text here real quick. Dixon says, kind of along the same lines, Brady, remember when everybody, including you, I think, thought this whole NIL and portal stuff was going to be good for the NCAA and the players. And the whole why not attitude, let them move if they want and get paid. This doesn't have anything to do with NIL. They met with guys when you're not supposed to meet with them. They've had dead periods forever, well before the transfer portal and well before the transfer portal and NIL stuff.
This was during COVID-19.
Right.
2020. NIL didn't start until 2021.
Yeah, correct. So it didn't have anything to – this has nothing to do with any of that stuff. So I don't know where you're getting, your information there, Dixon, but that NIL and transfer, the way they transferred didn't exist back then. So what are we talking about here? You're saying that because of NIL and transfer portals that these coaches broke the rules? That was before it all happened. They were cheating then. They're cheating now. Transfer portals and NIL have nothing to do with the dirtiness of the NCAA. Stickman, he's getting made fun of because his bank account grew big time and his performance hasn't shown much of anything. He needs to step up, and I'm not even a Broncos fan. It's been 3 games. You guys are acting like this. When did Aaron Rodgers look perfect week 1? Oh, my gosh. You guys are out of your mind. Don't like Russ promoting sandwiches. I don't like Russ saying, let's ride. Oh, he needs to be perfect day one. Even though he has a new head coach, it's the first time he's ever been on a different team in the NFL. New system, new offensive line, new everything. And you guys are like, 2-1 ain't good enough. Wow. There's some things to fix, but it's already gotten better. The San Francisco game has already been better than the first two, which leads me to believe the Raiders game is going to be better. Oh, what is it? Aaron Rodgers says, man, just relax. My goodness. This Russell stuff you're talking about is exactly why he wore out his welcome in Seattle. He was there in Seattle for how long? He was there for a while. Was that 8 years?
And we also did know that story about him and Carroll having some disagreements.
Yeah.
And kind of the way that whole, you know, career point ended for him. I don't know.
Russell Wilson's just not like...
He's a good guy.
When they traded
and he does
for
good
him.
Things, and he's been playing all right. I agree with you there. He has been okay, if not a little above average in these first three games. It's just like... It's the extra stuff outside of the football facilities. He's filming these, you know, TikToks or commercials, or he's, you know, Mr. Unlimited. That kind of just, it can get on people's nerves.
It's better than what is it, Patrick Mahomes' brother or whatever does all those TikTok things.
Oh, yeah,
no,
you don't want a Jackson Mahomes.
Yeah, like, that's bad, dude. You know, when they traded for him, it was like, oh, wow, Russell Wilson. Everybody was in love, and then... He said, let's ride, and some people were like, what? What does that even mean? Oh, it's so corny. It's over the top. I hate it. It's so bad. And then he struggles for a couple of... In fact, he was good against Seattle. He was all right against Houston. He was fairly bad against San Francisco, but the key drive was perfect. Where are we here, guys? I mean, my goodness. You're 2-1. This is what do you listen to the show? I told you guys they would be 2-1. You guys, this is what I told you. Prepare. He's too cool for school with Mr. Unlimited stuff. The Let's Ride stuff, the dangerous stuff. What's wrong with it? I love it. It's great. Guys can't be a caricature nowadays. You want everybody just coming out going, yeah, we played real good. Played good out there today. Yep, good game. Good football game. We've got to play better, and we'll play better tomorrow. Is that what you want?
Was that like a Philip Rivers-Manning combination?
It was like a Philip Rivers-Manning thing. That's what I was going for. Yeah, something like that.
Probably win a couple Super Bowls with that quarterback. Maybe half.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd win some with that quarterback. Jackson Mahomes isn't the QB. Who cares what he does? Isn't Patrick Mahomes like have his brother on the freaking sidelines last year in the Broncos game? He did his little TikTok dance on the Broncos field. Who gave him access to that, bro? Patrick Mahomes did. He got him there on the sidelines. So, might not be him. Might not be the quarterback. Who cares what he does? Patrick Mahomes does. He let him on the field, sidelines, doing his TikTok dances. You guys are getting me all fired up today. I was very cool, calm, and collected to start this show. And now you guys are going at it. He's making $250 million. He's going to be fine. Wow. 24 minutes after. When we come back, give me some lighthearted, some kind of sun is shining. Everything's going to be okay. We're 2-1. Give me some of that music. Coming up, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
This is just Russ walking around Denver all day. Spills his coffee. I don't care. Guy cuts him off in traffic. That's fine. We're good. On the Rocks Liquor, bringing us our game beer of the week. This one's from Berthoud Brewing. Berthoud Lowrider Light. Pick up selections from Berthoud Brewing or any of your favorite adult beverages at On the Rocks Liquor. Got the drive-thru open as well. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every day. This Friday, tomorrow, we're getting there from 4 to 7 at On the Rocks. The good folks from Rule 105 will be on hand with assorted spirits to try. That is On the Rocks Liquor. Texter says, you ask the question and then slam on the people responding when you don't get the responses you wanted. No, I don't like the whole, he needs to be the best quarterback in the world right now. That's where it, you don't like the cheesy stuff? Okay, fine. That's your deal. That's great. Fine. But what I'm talking about is people like, well, for the amount he's being paid, he needs to be better. We're 3 weeks into this thing. New head coach that needs a lot of help and got it. New system, new philosophy, new city, new life, new everything. And you expect it to just be gold right off the bat? Like, let me ask you something. Like, Dixon, are you freaking out because Patrick Mahomes wasn't very good last week? No, I'm serious. Like, he wasn't very good against the Colts. Are you, because Russell Wilson is a top-tier quarterback. So is Patrick Mahomes. If he has a bad game, do you freak out? If he has three in a row, is it over for Patrick Mahomes? Probably not. This happens in the league. This happens in the NFL. Good quarterbacks have times where they struggle. It's very reasonable that Russell Wilson is struggling right now because it's a brand new thing. He's never been under a new coach, dude. Pete Carroll was there and establishing Seattle. He learned right there. He is with a brand new head coach. There has to be some grace period here.
There's a theory in science.
Oh, boy.
Correlation versus causation.
Go
is
on.
Correlating between Russell's cheesiness and the new system is causing bad performance, or is it new system, new coach, struggling, correlating to it's not connected to his corniness off the field.
Yeah.
He's not, him being corny and cheesy is not affecting his play. His play
right.
is being affected by the new system.
If the Broncos were 3-0 and he was like 8 touchdowns already and just monster games, would the reaction still be the same to the sandwich stuff? Eli Manning wouldn't have said that on the telecast or whatever the other night if he was those numbers were crazy. But you still had a lot of people before the season started that were ripping him. So if he was perfect right now and his numbers were awesome and they're 3-0, are we talking about probably a little bit?
You're talking about, because at that point it would just be, oh, he's just corny and cheesy. That's just who he is at that point. He's still great on the football field. Look at the numbers he just put up. No, he's corny, whatever. We're winning games. So, yeah, the conversation changes. I told you in the break, maybe Broncos fans are frustrated that Russell isn't as frustrated as they might be.
That's a good point. You want to see some anger on his face after losses. Aaron says, Russell Wilson, 2-1 after first three. 63 of 106 for 743 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Peyton freaking Manning was 1-2. 69 of 115 for 825 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. Calm down, people. It's time to calm down. I mean, it's going to be okay. All right, we do have to take a break. Here we go. Stickman, do you agree that Russ needs to step up his game if he wants to beat the 0-3 Raiders this week? I think it's going to be a hard game for them, and if they lose, Denver fans might go crazy. Hey, listen, I do agree that Russell's got to get better. He has to be better. You are correct. I just have a little bit more of a grace period here. Like, I'm looking over at the Raiders. They're probably freaking out too, aren't they? They just spent a ton of money to get, or they're paying Davante Adams big time now, right? So, is that a failure? They're going to be fine, those two. I don't know if they'll get it right this year, but if I'm a Raiders fan, I'm still happy that I got Derek Carr and Davante Adams. Maybe Derek Carr's not the guy. I don't know. But this is the league, man. This is what happens. Things happen. The Raiders are shocked that they're 0-3. But yes, I do agree. Russell Wilson has to be better. I'm just saying, you're 2-1. They're still trying to figure it out. Hackett did not handle the preseason the right way. And I think it's Russell struggling from that. I do. I think that that's part of it. But it does seem like Hackett's getting better. Already, you saw a massive improvement from week one to number three. So those are good signs. 34 minutes after the hour, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan coming up next. We'll talk about Colorado State. We'll talk about Jay Norvell and the state of this team, the state of this program. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Forty minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, we're getting fired up here. Texters are getting me going about this Russell Wilson thing. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day, are you a fan of Russell Wilson's cheesy style? Go vote on thewholeshow.com, and we'll see what it looks like. Kevin Lytle, never cheesy, always just spot on, factual, giving us updates constantly on all things CSU. How are you, my friend?
Doing superb. How are you doing, Brady?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing better than Air Force, I'll tell you that. That's a crazy story.
Yeah, it seems like every week right now there's something in the Mountain West happening, and that's just the latest.
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, I was thinking about, we were talking about this earlier, this is a big year for the Mountain West with all the conference stuff. You know, you want to be at your best, and you want your best teams to lead this thing, Fresno State, Boise State, Air Force. Fresno State obviously dealing with quarterback injury. Hank Bachmeier leaves Boise State, and then you have this with Air Force. So this was not the way the Mountain West Conference wanted to kind of start this season.
Yeah, it's just a really down year for the Mountain West. I mean, you know, San Diego State is looking okay, but they've had, you know, kind of a rough loss already. Fresno State, like you say, their two losses aren't really bad, but you have to worry about the quarterback situation. Boise, I've been saying since summer that I thought Boise was kind of way overrated based on name. I think we're seeing some of that with some of their issues. But yeah, overall, the Mountain West just isn't good. You know, the Athletic does a weekly, you know, FBS rankings. I think there are six Mountain West teams in the bottom 30.
Wow.
So it's just a bad year.
No doubt, and it's the worst time to have this bad year, as we've talked about with everything happening in college football. Kevin, first off, let's talk about Clay Millen. How's he doing? You were texting me some updates yesterday, but any news? I mean, you got the bye this week, and if we're saying day-to-day, odds are he'll be suiting up against in their next game, right? Is that Nevada?
Yeah, they play Nevada next Friday night. And yeah, you know, Jay Norvell obviously was kind of coy about, because, you know, frankly, there's no reason for him, you know, 9 days out to really announce anything. It doesn't really behoove him to do that. Clay has been at practice, but you know, from at least the portions the media can view, he hasn't been throwing. You know, if I had to guess, I kind of think Braden Fowler Nicolosi is going to start that game, but we'll see. You know, it's, again, I'm not a doctor or anything, but obviously throwing arm injuries or shoulder injuries on your throwing arm, you know, aren't overnight fixes. And, you know, to be fair, obviously I'm sure Clay would love to play that game, but there's also no reason to rush someone back too early and risk, you know, further, you know, irritating that shoulder or anything. So, you know, if you ask me to predict today, I'd say Braden starts that game, but it is early. I mean, it's still more than a week out. So we'll really learn more, you know, Monday when Jay Norvell has his press conference, because they'll be well into game prep by then.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, what did you make of Nevada's head coach saying stuff, you know, like, hey, the way Coach Norvell left was rough, you know, telling kids not to play in a bowl game, directing them to go to the NFL. I know you asked a little bit about that, too, and Coach Norvell said he didn't really pay attention to it, didn't hear it or whatever. But what did you make of all of that?
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, in some ways, I'm not surprised at all. It's what his fan base, you know, Ken Wilson's fan base wants to hear. You know, they want to be mad at Jay Norvell, basically, and he just kind of dumped gasoline on that fire. He was pretty inaccurate and out of line in a lot of ways. I mean, one, he wasn't there, so he's speaking based on hearsay. And two, you know, claiming that coaches don't leave before bowls, that's just a bald-faced lie. I mean, I could, in 5 minutes, pick out dozens of examples for you. CSU has one, and Jim McElwain, he left before a bowl. So that's very common. You know, Wilson claiming he didn't leave Oregon is apples to oranges, because he wasn't the head coach. But Oregon's coach, Cristobal, left for Miami before a bowl. So I don't really know why he felt the need to say that. You know, as far as players leaving, you know, the NFL draft part of it was kind of weird. I mean,
right?
I don't know how a coach you know, telling someone, you know, hey, I think you're ready for the NFL is a bad thing. That's I just didn't understand that at all. Obviously, he was also insinuating that Norvell basically told players to leave and come to Nevada, or leave Nevada and come to CSU. You know, again, I'm not surprised he said that. It's what the fan base wants to hear. Tory Horton replied on Twitter and said, you know, this is false or something like that. I mean, it's kind of interesting. JoJo Claiborne, who played for Norvell at Nevada, put out, you know, a Twitter note basically saying, you know, this is BS. You know, we love Coach Norvell. He was just doing what's best for him. You know, the Nevada coach is basically just trying to sell tickets for the game, which, you know, probably, you know, isn't that inaccurate a take. So I totally am not surprised that Ken Wilson said that. Chris Ault, you know, the legendary coach, also came out. I think he called it the green infection or something like that. So Nevada is kind of dumping gas on this thing, and it appears Norvell and I'm guessing the players are going to pretty much defer away. Publicly, at least, it seems like that's going to be a focus. I mean, Norvell saying he didn't see that comment, you know, I don't know for sure, but I would be pretty stunned if he hadn't heard that. But I'm also not surprised that he's going to play, you know, pretty much the straight PR line here.
Yeah, just for Nevada, just sounds, you know, ultimately sounds like sour grapes. I have thoughts on coaches finishing it out and coaching in the bowl game and all that, but still, it's not, you know, it is common. It's not that big a deal. So, yeah. All right, Kevin, so more transfer news. You said this last week. You said, don't be surprised. We are going to see more players transfer out. And you noted this in your article in the Colorado, and most these players are transferring out are upperclassmen. I mean, they're looking at the situation going, you know what? We don't want to. We didn't realize it was going to be this big of a rebuild. We're moving on. We want to put more stuff on tape. And with the way this offensive line is, we're not going to be able to do that. That's kind of what I'm gathering.
Yeah, I mean, it is mostly veteran guys that have either, you know, 1 year, maybe 2 years left that are leaving. And Jay Norvell's been pretty direct of, you know, we thought we had some veteran guys we could rely on. It turns out we can't. So, you know, onward and upward, we move on with young players. And, you know, for some of these veterans, I do. I guess, a very nuanced situation. You know, some of these guys, you know, Ty McCulloch and Tywan Francis, who left this week, this is their third coach for each of them. That's tough. That's a lot of change. So I can sympathize with the fact that it, you know, maybe a change of scenery is just what's needed because they've been through a lot here at CSU. But, yeah, it's, you know, this is what we saw. You know, if you trace back Norvell's first year in Nevada, he turned over that, or, you know, the roster turned over very significantly in his first year. And that was before the one-time transfer. It's going to be even more significant this, you know, this go-around with the one-time transfer rule. CSU is going to sign another 40 to 50 players this offseason because you can now. So we're going to see a whole new roster next year. There's not going to be a lot of holdovers from the previous, you know, 2, 3, 4 years. And, you know, frankly, this program needs a full reset, so I can understand why that's happening.
Yeah, we just a lot going on. a lot going on with Colorado State.
Well, you throw in the transfers, injuries, obviously just on field stuff. I mean, there's just a ton. You know, we talked about Clay, but there are a lot of significant injuries to this team right now too. So in so many ways, I think they really needed this bye week.
Kevin, is this, I mean, I know there's a lot of issues and it's hard to pull out some positives from most of these games. I mean, I hate to put it on a group, but it doesn't it seem like the biggest issue, the major issue, is the offensive line for Colorado State?
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole trickle-down effect from there. You know, the offense is struggling. Again, it's not just the O-line, but it starts right there. When you can't block, it's hard to throw, it's hard to run, it's hard to do much anything. And then when the offense is bad, it puts a lot of strain on the defense, and so they have to, you know, overperform. So, yeah, it is a whole trickle-down. You know, if we could Harry Potter this and wave our magic wands and fix, you know, say fix one thing on this team, you would go O-line and no one would ever question it because that is the clearest decision, you know, that would have the best ripple down effect. And that's where you do hope this bye week can help. You know, they're not going to become the best in the Mountain West this year. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But if you can get a couple guys back, you know, they're missing three starters right now. So it was already a thin unit and then down three starters. That's pretty brutal. So if you can get Dante Keys back, and he's been practicing, so that's a good sign. Dante Bivens went out last game, so hopefully he can come back soon. But they need to shore up that unit one way or another. You know, again, it's not going to be a best in the league, But if it can just be, you know, okay, that would make a huge difference.
No question, man. Get that offensive line figured out, and I think a bunch of things start to click. Kevin, what are you working on, man? I've been following you along, tracking the transfer situation. What else are you putting together for us at the Colorado one?
Yeah, I should have a story coming out here soon. It's sort of an analysis of, you know, what can and can't be fixed during this season. Obviously, we know long-term there, you know, big roster overhauls needed in some places. But this season, what can be improved? You're not adding players or anything like that. So I kind of break down, you know, what will get better and what won't. And, you know, a little hint in that is one of the things CSU fans can look forward to is, you know, like we said, the Mountain West is bad. And CSU's non-conference schedule is really, really good. So while there weren't a lot of positives, the level of play kind of moves back toward where CSU is at moving forward. So it's sort of a weird positive to take, but it's actually really true.
Yeah, well, check it out, man. I love what you're doing with this team. I think a lot of fans need this stuff now as they're trying to make sense of this season with Jay Norvell. Kevin, appreciate you, man.
Thanks. Always good talking to you.
You too. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. No Rams Weekly today. We're off because of the bye week and stuff. We'll come back at it next week with Kevin and Chris Abshire and myself. So we'll look forward to busting into Nevada week next week. All right, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's take a short break. We'll wrap up hour number one. What did Russell Wilson say? Did he have a response for Eli Manning's viral statement about paying the punter? We'll talk about that next. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast. And you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
I'm good to the hooligans here. Noob says, what's the Air Force story? I missed it. Well, it's bad. Air Force, well, I mean, it's pretty bad. They're being placed on probation for 2 years. And that was announced this morning and issued other penalties for recruiting violations committed during COVID-19 dead periods. The NCAA said the Air Force Academy and four individuals involved in the alleged violations reached an agreement with enforcement staff about penalties. A fifth unnamed individual is fighting the allegations, and in his case will be resolved through an infractions hearing. What we have read so far is that Troy Calhoun did not know. A source did say that these people that were doing this specifically said, don't let Troy Calhoun know. I don't know what to make of that. I mean, I just don't know. You're the head coach. It's your thing. Why are they doing stuff like that if you didn't direct them to? Like, I don't get it. Second hour coming up next. We're going to talk to my player of the week, presented by Savai Brewing, Elijah Dotson, running back for the UNC Bears. Boy, did he have a game. We'll talk to him on the other side. We'll be right back.